Hey everyone, I'm Jason V, and this is Local Color, a Baltimore podcast. My guest today is Busy, Busy, Busy. This past summer, she made and sold sustainable vegan ice pops. Now that it's fall, she's making and selling homemade pies for the holiday season. Her name is Crystal Mack. Her game, Baltimore's first food tricycle, the Pie Cycle. Crystal, welcome to Local Color. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You seem pretty excited to be here.
I am. I've never done anything like this before. It's cool.
You're super excited. Where are you from? Give us your life story.
I spent most of my, half of my time, I guess, in Essex, Maryland, which is in Baltimore County. But I spent a good part of my childhood in the Northwood area of Baltimore City. So near like Morgan.
What road did you live on?
Well, I didn't live there. So my grandmother lived there and my spent a lot of time there. And I went to school there because my mother, she was a Baltimore City math teacher at Chinquapin Middle School. And my grandmother lived on Swansea. And so we would be over there a lot also because I went to school. I went to Emmanuel Lutheran, which was a private school across the street from Good Samaritan Hospital.
Okay.
So I was there for a good amount of my childhood. It's just a big church across the street from Good Samaritan Hospital. It's no longer a school.
Good Samaritan, is that off of Loch Raven?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The only reason why I ask is because, you know, Lauren.
Yeah.
Before her and I moved out, obviously my family moved out to the county. We lived in the Northwood neighborhood too. We lived off of Loch Raven on Shady Side.
What?
Yeah.
For real?
Yep.
That's so cool. It's so funny. Like the people that I've come across that I'm like really like clicked with in the city, they're all from that general area. No, they really are. It's really cool. Like I love that part of the city because it's such a like the home ownership, like the amount of black home ownership and the pride in that area and the neighborhood. It's really cool. I went to pre-K there. I went to Northwood Apple.
Okay.
And then I went to Emmanuel Lutheran. So for me, it was really interesting. Like I lived in an all white neighborhood in Essex, but I would go to school with all black kids. And to me, it was just like only time I ever saw white people were in my neighborhood or on TV. And then, when I went to middle school, which is my first like experience in like a more diverse setting. It was kind of interesting for me because I never really, other than my one non-black friend, Caroline Garriott, in elementary school, I never really had any interactions like that.
Really?
Outside of like, you know, black Baltimore. So for me, and it was such a cool time because it was like the Cosby Show was on, like A Different World was on, you know, hip hop was different then. So it was a lot of like pride, you know. So for me coming from there and then coming to the county was a big, it was an interesting difference for me. But I think it definitely helped shape me as a person today, both times growing up in an all-black setting in the city and then also a more diverse, culturally diverse setting in the county.
Gotcha. Now, did you go to high school in the city or?
No, I went to high school in the county. I went to Kenwood High School for 3 years.
Okay.
And I wasn't an angel, so I got kicked out of Kenwood High School.
Ooh,
yeah, I was a bad. I was kind of a rebel in high school. I just was pretty much like a you can't tell me what to do kind of girl. And also, it kind of stemmed from. A little bit of it stemmed from bullying. A little bit of it stemmed from just making bad choices. So I spent 3 years at Kenwood. And then I spent my final year at Overly High School in Rosedale. Mm-hmm.
All right. Did you go to college at all? Or did you go to college?
College dropout. So I did a little my time at community college.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I just realized it just wasn't for me. And then I, like, moved on to doing aesthetics. So I'm a licensed esthetician in the state of Maryland.
What does that mean?
That's a skincare professional. I'm a licensed skincare professional. So peels, waxing, things like that.
If I wanted my face to glow, could you help?
Yes, I can help you glow. I can help you glow. I will help your soul glow from the inside out.
Okay, cool. So you lived in the county, went to school in the city, kind of. Mm-hmm. Went between both worlds, went to college, found out it really wasn't for you.
Uh-huh.
When did you start Karma Pop and the Pie Cycle?
That was something more recent in my future. So I actually, or more recent in my life.
I like that. More recent in your future. That was very, like, That was very trippy.
More recent in my future.
Yes. Yes.
That started about 2012, I would say, 2012, 2013. I was in a long-term relationship with a guy who had recently moved to California, and he wanted me to come. I kept saying no, I wasn't ready. Then finally I was like, you know what, I'm going to go. I took all of my work vacation days, which I never take vacations. I took all my vacation days and like banked them in, and I was thinking, to my job and my family, I'm going to go on vacation. But to me, it was like, I'm leaving and I'm not coming back. I started transferring my license over to a California state license for my aesthetics thing. I got approved for that. So all I had to do was go and show up and get my license. And after him begging me and begging me to come, he called me and told me not to come about 2 weeks before because he was in love with his coworker.
Oh, my God.
It was cool. It was, I mean, at first I was like, are you kidding me? Like, thankfully, you know, he gave me the money back for the ticket and everything else. And I was able to, like, move past that. So at that point, I was like, okay, well, I was going to spend the rest of my time in California. Now what am I going to do? So in my mind, I was like, you know what? Throw yourself into your work. I worked really hard. At the time, I was at Red Door Spa. And they recognized my hard work and told me that there was a new location opening in New York and that I would be a good fit there. I went up and interviewed a few times. They offered me the position, but when it came down to it, they were not going to give me a relocation stipend. And all I wanted was, it was a really small amount. It wasn't anything like, when I tell people who actually get relocation stipends all the time what I wanted, they were appalled that they couldn't give it to me.
Really?
And it was pretty much the amount that I wanted was the amount that I, like half of the amount that I would make in services for them. So if anybody is familiar, for a week. So if anyone is familiar with, you know, the pricing structure there, it's pretty high. So the fact that they weren't open to giving me half of the amount that I make for them in a week, which really I only got a third of, I was like, I'm out. I think I had just gone through an experience of being, feeling underappreciated as a person from my job, giving my all, to like, you know, my relationship at the time, giving my all and not getting, you know, being reciprocated on either level. So at that time I was like, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to start, you know, baking at home as a stress reliever, eating like, and I love to eat. If anybody knows me, they know I love to eat.
Oh God, my girl, when my girlfriend hears this, she'll be like, she's my new friend.
Yeah, let's go eat. Hey girl, hit me up. He has my info.
Oh my God.
So yeah, no, I love to eat and cook. And at the time I was like, you know, I don't need to be spending all this money. Let me learn how to like teach myself how to cook better at home. So I like to challenge myself. I was doing this little like self-imposed Instagram challenge called Pantry Plate, where I would take anything that was in my pantry and try to create like a nice dish out of it without having to go to the grocery store to make a specific recipe. Dishes got really better. My dessert skills got better, but I felt like I needed a professional touch. So I started applying to restaurants and I got hired by Le Garage. Yeah.
Yo, no way.
Yeah.
Oh my.
You like Le Garage?
I've never been there, but my girlfriend, she swears by it. She's always talking about it. And my birthday is in a couple of days, and I think we're gonna start there.
Uh-huh.
But you're her new best friend. You don't know it yet. She doesn't know it yet. But you guys are gonna be best friends.
Okay. Hey, man.
So did you just do, were you like a pastry chef at
So I applied to be the fry counter girl, because every time I was ambitious enough to apply to other places and be like, yeah, make me your pastry chef. I make good cookies.
Right.
Like, you know, they were like, ah, you have no experience. Goodbye.
Right.
Or they wouldn't even like email me back. So I was like, I'm going to like humble myself and know that I have no professional like kitchen experience. Let me say, hey, I'll work your French fry counter. Like what?
Okay.
You know, and then I came in and I told them like, hey, in my cover letter, I don't have that much experience. This is what I like to do. I like to bake on my side time. Like, I love French fries. My Instagram name is fries_before_guys.
Okay.
So they were like, oh, okay, she has a passion. And I think they checked my Instagram out and they saw my plating.
Right.
And I think it kind of went from there. And they, when I came in, I was thinking I was interviewing for the fry counter girl position.
Yeah.
And they were like, how would you like to be garde manger? I was like, really? And they were like, yeah. It translates to keeper of the kitchen. So pretty much a lot of things on the menu of a restaurant, garde manger, pretty much touches a lot of it. So oftentimes the pastry chef is there during the day making whatever, and they're, you know, they leave after the daytime, and the person who's on the line at that evening, which would be the garde manger, on the cold side anyway, they would do, for me as well, what I did when I was there, they would do salads, appetizers, cold and hot, certain sides on entrees. So that was me. I remember at one point I looked at the menu and there were like 45 things that I touched on that menu. Regardless, yeah, so it wouldn't be, and I think that's, you know, and that wasn't really anything. For me, I thought I sucked at it. I mean, I definitely had my weak moments, and my chef and executive chef, they were so supportive, and they were like, you don't suck, you're doing really well, but yeah. For me, I have really high standards, and I feel like if it's taking me a long time, and like when I would get slammed, I get really frustrated, and I wouldn't hide it. I get angry about it.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, so I would be like, what the heck? Like, you know, I would be pissed about it. But, you know, it is what it is as part of the kitchen life. But that kind of made me realize, like, I didn't necessarily want to do savory items.
Right.
At first, I was like, I just want to be in the kitchen and, you know, see what I could do. And then when I did do more savory items, I was like, I definitely do want to do desserts. Like, desserts is where it's at for me. So I would go in at 3 and, you know, work the shift, the dinner shift. Leave and go home and either like pass out from exhaustion and tiredness or stay up and practice ice pop making, which when I told people what I did at the kitchen, like, yeah, I'm making ice pops at home, and they're like,
okay,
they're just cool. Like, all right, cool, whatever, like, no right. One cares, you know.
Yeah.
And it was definitely very much like you have no experience, so we don't respect you kind of thing.
Yep.
There were people in the kitchen who I really looked up to that were humble and had very good skills, but you could tell they had been in that kitchen life for so long of not being respected that they didn't take themselves seriously. So really? Therefore, other people didn't take them seriously. I took them seriously, but it was just really unfortunate to see that. And that also gave me a glimpse into something that I did not want as a part of my future. I didn't want to be worn down from kitchen life because it's not easy being in the kitchen. Like, no one really... You get the, like, if you're the executive chef and the sous chef, of course you get respect because, you know, yes, chef, you know, you get it. But on the line, I mean, obviously it's different at every restaurant, but from that one experience for me, it's not very, it's not super nurturing, which, you know.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So you're at Le Garage. Quick side note, do you ever watch cooking shows like Chopped and stuff like that?
I didn't have cable. So people would be talking about stuff all the time in the kitchen like, yeah, did you see Chopped or did you see Blow? And I'm like, I don't have cable and I haven't had cable in like 7 years, so I don't know. But then I have cable now. So once I moved into my new place and like they had cable in the house and I was like, oh, cool. And they're like, yeah, $10 a month. You can get some too. I'm like, all right, get me it. Sign me up. So I've been, I watch nothing but like Chopped and like Carnival Eats and stuff. And the funny thing for me, when I watch Chopped, I'm like, this is my pantry plate idea, but it's Chopped. Like, here, we're going to present you with these items and you make something crazy good out of it.
You're just like, Ted Allen, how dare you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, really? Really, Ted Allen? Thanks.
I could have did this.
Like, you're going to give me a jawbreaker? Thank you. Like, what am I going to do with this? But people make amazing things out of that.
Yeah.
And I like when they have on Chopped, like, someone that's the underdog, that the other chefs are like, I'm a James Beard Award winner. And then you got the person that's like, I'm self-taught. And they're like, I'm a 5-time award winner. But they're like the second or third person they get, like, kicked off.
Yeah.
And that's because, you know, you don't humble yourself. I think that's something that a lot of people don't do in the food industry is humble themselves. And when you're coming from a place of not knowing anything, you can't help but be humble because you don't know the answers.
Because you're always
constantly learning. Yeah.
And yeah, you, like you said, you don't know all the answers and you never want to appear like you are too good or you are not willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true. I think that's just true of most professional settings. Like, because I work in media, so there are a lot of people that I know or work with that they've been doing it for a long time, and
it's almost like they're slightly jaded.
Yeah, and it's sad to see, because you're coming in, you're like full of life.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. We're gonna make history. We're gonna make so many changes, and then the older veterans just like, yeah, I used to be that way too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what it was like when I was in that kitchen. I was like, wow. And I wasn't even in there very long, because I knew, like, in my mind, I was like, you know what? no one's appreciating what I'm doing. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to do my Kickstarter while I do this.
Do your own thing.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to start my Kickstarter. So I started my Kickstarter while I was at Le Garage. And I was like, I don't feel fulfilled here anymore. And if I get funded, I'm quitting.
That's fantastic. There are so many people who do what they don't want to do because it's the safe thing, mm-hmm. or they want to make money. And trust me, money is good. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But it feels so much better when you're doing what you want to mm-hmm. do, even mm-hmm. if you have to make sacrifices.
Yeah.
You like with you, your schedule is just so jam-packed and it changes. You wouldn't trade it for the world because you're doing what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing
Sometimes I'm like, I wish there was another way, but right now for me, there is no other way. Like, I wish I had a free schedule. I wish I could, like, go to shows with my friends. I wish I could hang out with my friends. I wish I could consistently make time to, you know, see
stuff.
A boyfriend, but I don't have time for those things, and it's really unfortunate, and it sucks.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think the thing that's really hard about that is finding people that understand that.
That's what I was going to say. I think that
it gets really lonely for sure.
I am inclined to agree. I mean, my girlfriend, she's great. She's mm-hmm. been with me. I mean, even before I was doing overnight shift, and, you know, she'd come over, we'd hang out. I would sleep, wake up around 11, leave at midnight to be at work mm-hmm. at 1 a.m. And she was really good for that. And I don't see my friends as frequently. But also when you get older, everyone's just kind of doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But especially if you have a creative endeavor or something that you want to do,
mm-hmm.
It's not that you don't want to see your friends. You're just like, I can't right now.
Yeah, I just can't. Like,
I can just as easily. We could have just as easily not done this today, and I could have been like, I'm just going to hang out with my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, this is what I want to mm-hmm. do, and you got to put in that work. So, you know, in 25 years, when you're running the town and people are asking you for help,
right?
You can be able to do that because you're doing what other people want right now, so that later on you can do what other people can't.
True.
I like to look at motivational stuff or inspirational things. It sounds kind of corny, but if you look at the stuff over and over again, I have a couple of pictures that are, it's a wallpapers on my computer,
mm-hmm.
and they change every half hour, and it's all inspirational quotes, like, you know, success or ambition, or I can't remember what it is. Oh, it's like excellence is not a mindset, it is a habit. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Nice.
It's something that you
right,
consistently
true.
Try
yeah.
to do. But we got off on a team. So you're at Le Garage, you start the Kickstarter, you get funded.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, I asked to step down from Garde Manger to prep cook.
Wow.
Because I was like, you know what? I still want to be in the kitchen, but I don't necessarily want to be on the line. This is too stressful for me, and I want to try to like focus on getting this Kickstarter off the ground. Let me step down to prep cook. They weren't too thrilled about that because they're like, you know, we took a chance on you and you want to step down. I'm like, I still want to be here, but I just want to be prep. And they're like, okay. So I did that, and then again, like, the kitchen lifestyle was just not your thing. No, not my thing. It wasn't like a Gordon Ramsay situation, but there were definitely some things that like that you hear if other people like say to you
right.
that you don't need, but it's like you can't even really complain about it because that's kitchen culture. Like, that's, you know, it is what it is. It's never like, it's never anything like racial or anything,
right.
but it's just like you underling, like that kind of thing. Like, they don't
yeah.
say that, but they'll say stuff like that, you know.
I was at work I think it was 2 days ago, and I made like a really rookie mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And in so many words, my producer and the anchor let me know. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to be in this corner for the rest of the day.
Right. I'm not the type of person
anything.
That like works like that. Like, you won't get good results out of me by telling me like,
you're terrible.
Not even like, but just like talking down to me or saying like, oh, she's like my little dog. If I call her name, she'll come. Look, Crystal. And like yell my name constantly for stuff.
Yeah, that's.
And I just keep coming over and I have to say, yes, chef, yes, chef.
Yeah, see, that's disrespectful.
That's disrespectful. But you know what? That's at the same time, that's kind of kitchen culture sometimes. Some places, some kitchens function like that. Some kitchens, it's like a big family. Some kitchens is very much like, you know.
Right.
So for me, I don't operate well like that. So I actually came to the point where I decided, like, I've never done this before, but I just. I was like, I'm leaving. And I left at the end of my shift and I never came back.
Wow.
So for me, it was kind of like, I don't need this.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they like kept calling me like, hey, like, where are you going to come? I'm like, no, I'm not going to come.
Like, oh,
and also I had like
shit.
A family situation going on at the time. So yeah. And now I just need to dedicate my time to that. But for me, it was just like, you don't value me as a person.
Right.
So how could you possibly value me as a worker? So I decided to like, you know, spend my time working on, you know, getting everything off the ground. And at the same time, during the Kickstarter, I had another competing ice pop company in the area shut my Kickstarter down by threatening to sue Kickstarter and saying that they shouldn't have made me like a staff pick. And, you know, she stole our idea for making ice pops, even though it's a free market. Anyone can sell ice pops.
This is America.
And my pops are very, very different from theirs.
Okay.
Mine's are based more around seasonality. So I don't technically have like strawberry pops when it's not strawberry season. I don't have strawberry pops.
Right.
So it's, and my flavors are a little weird. My flavors, a lot of them are original recipes. Like I have an okra lime creamsicle.
My girlfriend is going to lose her mind.
Nobody, but it doesn't, it's not green.
Right.
And the cream part of it is the like slime from the okra. It's so it's stuff that's different. So it's never, you know, at any point in time, and I was never trying to infringe on anyone. It was just a tactic to slow me down.
Yeah.
And if anything, it helped me build more momentum because it let me know that someone felt I was a threat.
There you go.
And I don't want to be a threat to anybody. I think we can all win. We can all find our own definition of success.
You just let me.
But you know, that kind of encouraged me to like keep going because someone I thought that was established thinks that this up and comer is going to like rock the boat, and I was like, well, dang, they must see something that I can't see.
I must be doing something right.
Right. So.
Gotcha.
Got funded. Sorry, I'm like, to my throat. I got funded, and the goal was raised or met, and then shortly after that I started to try to create partnerships. I feel like that's really important for business, especially in a city like Baltimore. It's such a small city where everyone knows everyone, and people are really into the whole like collaboration thing now, like mashups and stuff, which I think is great in general. It does a lot of like cross promotion and brand recognition, so yeah, I don't know. And it's pretty much what Baltimore is about to me. It's just like, you know, when I think of Baltimore, I don't know. I just think of like people
coming together
because it's such a small, and like everybody knows everybody. You know
you
what I mean?
Yeah,
you can't help but like connect. So for me, it's just like, all right, that's a no brainer. I have to do collaborations.
Gotcha.
And shout out to my very first ever collaboration with the ladies from Trove in Hamden. Like, I can be very real and say, like, if it weren't for them, my business would not be what it is today.
Really?
Yeah, they took a chance on me. Like, they reached out to me when I was in Kickstarter stage.
Wow.
And they had never heard of me before. They never worked with me before. And they were like, hey, like, we see that you're doing ice pops and you want to sell them on a tricycle. And we have a bike window this month. And they're actually the same colors of your logo. Like, would you like to come by on our, you know, first Fridays in Hamden? We've never really done that before. We never had a food vendor here, but we would like to have you.
Wow.
And we've been partners ever since.
Really?
And I've learned a lot from them. From Bree, Dawn, and Carmen. They're amazing. So I really, really appreciate them. They took a chance on me and they didn't have to.
And that's what it's
and
all
that,
about.
And that kind of solidified to me, like, you know, there can be people who take a chance on you and just genuinely want you to grow and not take a chance on you and just constantly hang that over your head and make you feel like you owe them.
Yeah.
Like, that's truly the definition of an abusive relationship and in a, like, nurturing one. So I had the, shortly after leaving an abusive, like, work relationship or an abusive non-nurturing work relationship,
mm-hmm.
I got to work on a business on my terms that I was proud of, that I created with another business that wanted to genuinely see me grow. So it was really like,
it must have been a good feeling.
Yeah, it was an awesome feeling. It was really awesome. And I don't want to, I'm thinking now, listening back, I don't know how this is going to sound. Sometimes I just talk. I want to clarify that in my whole experience at Le Garage was not awful. It was actually I learned a lot. There are a lot of things that I do that I wouldn't know now. I want to give a shout out to Adam. Adam is an awesome sous chef there. He was the sous chef there, and now he's one of the hearth cooks at parts in labor. He, when I came on, he let me use all of his books. Mm-hmm. He went to the Culinary Institute in New York.
Wow.
Yeah, so he let me borrow his books. He told me to practice my knife skills. He told me what skills of knives to buy. He showed me how to sharpen my knife. He showed me how to use the meat slicer. He showed me a lot of stuff that I would not know how to do on my own as far as like working in a commercial kitchen if I hadn't worked with him. And he was, I mean, yeah, he was firm, but he definitely wasn't like disrespectful to me at any time.
Yeah, there's a clear line mm-hmm. between being strict and then just being mean. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with somebody being strict because I feel like I work the same way as well. You want to impart the wisdom on the person that you're teaching,
yes.
but at the same time you can't be too nice or you can't pull any punches. Like if you didn't cut that onion right, it's like, look, cut it again.
Right. Or why did, or oftentimes, so I would often ask questions like, why are we doing this? Or why should I do it this way? And they would look at me like, you don't ask questions, you just do it.
Yeah.
But then I had to remind them like, hey, I'm really asking because I just want to know so I can learn because
right.
I'm kind of learning.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Adam Gabriel, shout out to you. Also, shout out to Davon. He's also at La Cuchara now. But
where's that?
I think it's in the Clipper Mill area. But he was a very awesome prep cook, and now he was a prep cook at Le Garage, but he also worked on the line, I believe, at Fleet Street Kitchen.
Okay.
And he taught me a lot as well. Like, mm-hmm. amazing people. Those were the two people that I can say that are still in the industry that, you know, totally were like mentors for me. They don't know that, but now y'all know.
<That's>
so good. Yeah, so thank you.
Well, so what's coming up? What future projects do you have?
So I will be doing a pie tasting at Exit the Apple, the Exchange. That's going to be this upcoming Sunday. That's from 12 to 4.
Wait, is it the first Sunday or the second?
It's the second Sunday of every month at the Exit the Apple Art Space on Guilford. This Sunday is the first.
Yeah,
no, this Sunday is the first Sunday. Tomorrow is the first Sunday of the month.
So and is the it second on the first Sunday, Sunday or the second?
No, second Sunday of the month. It's the second Sunday of the month. So the second Sunday of the month is the 8th in November.
I'm sorry.
So no, you're fine. So I will be there, and I will have samples of my sweet potato pie for people to taste, and if they want to purchase it. Last year I did pre-orders. This year I'm doing full-on orders. So if you do want to buy a pie, you have to pay your full deposit at the time.
Pay up.
pay up, eat up. No, the pies are $25 each. And I also have another pie that I'm working on that I've already debuted it in a smaller form, and I don't want to say what it is.
Don't worry about it. Your secret's safe with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I can't tell you. I can tell you when we get off the mic.
That's fine.
But yeah, so I'm working on that. I've changed the recipe around a little bit.
Okay.
So that's going to be the second pie. There will only be two pies available for pie tastings this Thanksgiving, just because I don't want to overwhelm myself. Last year, I did 86 pies by myself.
Wow.
And I wasn't working then. I was just focused on the business. But now I'm also working full-time. I work at Ulta Beauty in Canton. It's a beauty store, like a supply store.
Is that near?
It's in the shopping center with the Target. It's in Canton Crossing.
I'm there all the time.
Well, you need to come in.
By Atwater's?
Yeah, it's actually across the street from Atwater.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm over there, and I'm the arch expert there. I wax brows with Benefit Cosmetics.
what are Benefit Cosmetics?
That's a cosmetics line. Oh. It's the company that I work for. So, yeah, so they're inside of Ulta. There's a brow bar there, and I'm one of their brow arch experts.
So if I go there, I'm like, Crystal says she's going to hook it up.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because
mm-hmm.
I need to make sure my eyebrow game is on point.
But, yeah, so that's I'm there full-time, so I know I wouldn't be able to do that whole amount of pies.
Right.
But I am going to try to limit my pies this year. I haven't nailed down a number, but there will be a limited amount of pies available. I'm not going to do just everybody get your order in. It's going to be like, this is the time. Oh, this is the number of pies that you have. There's going to be no limit on how many people buy pies. Like, you can buy 10 for your household if you want. But once that certain number that I decide is sold out, I won't be adding any more. I won't be accepting any more orders. Yeah, I just need to kind of pace myself. So that's that on Sunday, the 8th. And then on the 15th, I will be doing an event at Trove. which is my second annual pie tasting at Trove. So again, samples of that pie for a few hours, and then also taking orders for pie that people, you know, can pick up at Trove the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Gotcha.
I will make special exceptions, like special cases where, you know, if you're going out of town, a lot of people were going out of town last year, so I had to make them earlier for them for pickup. But most likely Wednesday before Thanksgiving will be the pickup day at Trove in Hamden. So those are my two events. Oh, and I also will be having, I will be working with Be More Art on the 15th at Trove. It's going to be kind of a celebration of their release.
The magazine?
Yeah, it's going to be a celebration of their magazine.
Okay.
So not a big celebration, but like, hey, this is our magazine. It's kind of almost like a soft celebration, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, hey, this is our magazine. You know, come purchase a copy. And I'll also be there. Kind of an art theme. I was daydreaming about this in my mind, but I didn't think I would have time on my schedule to do this. So there's an artist named Wayne Thiebaud. I don't know if you're familiar with him at all, but he does beautiful paintings of pies and cakes. And he'll be 95 on the 15th. And I really connect with Wayne Thiebaud because I love art. I'm not an like art whiz or anything. I'm not great at drawing, and I don't really know.
You're,
I didn't
you're
go to school.
At, like, the BMA.
Yeah.
Like, oh, how does this make me feel?
I am that person, actually.
Oh,
I am
that
person that's like, how does this make me feel?
Okay.
I at one point when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do after my breakup and after work kind of was giving me weird signals, I went on this thing that I called the Mac Art Pilgrimage. And I was just looking at going to different galleries in New York and Philly and Baltimore, D.C., just trying to figure out what inspires creativity and what inspires creative people like artists. Because oftentimes when you look at artwork, they'll have a blurb about where this artist was in their life and what had happened to them.
Right.
And it kind of shows that sometimes out of like chaos, you can get something really inspiring and beautiful. So for me, it was like, let me like get inspired by other, this sounds awful. Let me be inspired by other people's pain.
No,
let me be inspired by someone else's interpretation of their emotions. You know, so I did that. And then after I did that, I came across Wayne Thiebaud. And very similarly to me, when Wayne Thiebaud went around trying to get his art into galleries, people were like, we don't want this. This
right.
sucks, you know.
And he's like, look at me now.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So he was like, you know, trying to get his stuff in the studios and galleries. And people were like, no, we don't want this. And he was on the corner of a like gallery, like sitting down, kind of head down, having a cigarette. And the
yeah.
guy was like, what's that under your arm? And he's like, paintings, like, you don't want to see these. No one wants these. And he's like, let me see them. So he let him see him, and he's like, I want these, actually.
Wow.
And then, like, ever since then, he's, like, blew up. And it was kind of like that for me. Like, for a while, I emailed people. Like, I took food photos. I would bake stuff sometimes and drop them off at cafes that I knew did not have any bakers on hand and just did coffee. And everyone was like, no, thank you. We don't want it. It's okay. And the funny thing is, it's the same thing I was making now. Nothing's changed.
Really?
So some people were like, no, we don't know who you are. You know, like, where are you making this? Like, you know. And at the time, rightfully so, I was making it at home. And I was like, I'm making it at home. And they were kind of like, no. Like, you know, which at that point, I felt like they could have said, hey, get a commercial kitchen, then we'll talk. But it was like, no, thank you. We just can't have that here. But either way, those experiences got me to where I am now. And I wanted to honor Wayne Thiebaud by celebrating his 95th birthday, which is on November 15th, which just happens to be the day of my pie tasting and happens to be the day that Be More Art wants to do the event at Trove. So
that was the universe.
Yeah, it was
together.
The universe. Cause I was truly about to just be like, oh, well, I guess I'll just like do an Instagram post that says happy birthday, Wayne Thiebaud. Like, you're 95. Like, you know, so but I'm happy that I'm able to like honor this guy who was told like his art wasn't fine art and it's not. You know, just like I was told my, you know, culinary selections were not culinary art. So different types of art for sure, but still coming from the same place of having an appreciation for something or a passion for something so
right.
much that you want to share it with other people. So it'll be like kind of inspired by his piece, Pies, Pies, Pies. Yeah, so it'll be some lemon meringue, possibly some French silk, possibly some key lime, possibly some strawberry, possibly. Yeah. I'm putting possibly after all of these because I want you guys to know that that might not happen. It might not be that flavor. It may just be chocolate. It may just be key lime.
It'll be what Crystal says.
It'll be what I say it's going to be. You guys are just going to have to suck it up and eat it. That's hopefully you eat it, not leave it.
And then buy some.
And buy some. That's and buy some Be More Art Mags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to mention?
Oh my goodness. Also, Charm City Craft Mafia, yes, which is an awesome organization. And these are, like, to me, in my mind, like, we're having a big maker scene right now. These are the original makers. Like, bow down to these people. They are the most humble people. They are talented beyond, like, belief. And obviously, you know, a lot of people like me, like makers like me, if it weren't for an organization like them, I wouldn't know who to be inspired by, or I wouldn't think anybody else in the area is making stuff like that. But yeah, they are having their Holiday Heap craft show that they have every year. That was my first ever big craft show that I did, and that was with them last year. I will be there. It is December, I believe it's the second Saturday in December. I don't want to say a date, but you can always check out, you can Google Charm City Craft Mafia or Google Holiday Heat Baltimore. It's going to be at the 2640 space in Charles Village, which is that church on the corner.
Right near.
On St. Paul's Street.
Oh, right near, like down the street from the wind-up space?
No. So, well, is that down? No, it's actually like diagonal to like the Bank of America, kind of. So it's like up and around the corner.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha. It's
on St. Paul Street.
Oh, okay. No, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's something that's happening. And I'm also working, it's been a long time coming. I've been working, this is the last like blog interview that I've done. I've been burned a few times with like actual print blog interviews, so I've kind of declined to do those.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be doing an interview or a cool feature with Dave Cooper and Jen Cooper of South of Brooklyn. They have a very beautiful site. If you guys have a chance, please check it out. But we're going to be working together. We've been working on this kind of for a while now. So I'm excited to see what comes to be from the creation. They're a very talented, beautiful married couple. He just did a project that took him over to Afghanistan. So I believe it was Afghanistan. I don't want to.
He went out the country.
He went out the country, y'all. Like, he was in the Middle East.
Okay.
He wasn't keeping the peace. But I don't really know. I don't want to say that. It could have very well been Saudi Arabia. And then I sound like an ignorant American, and you know how that goes. So he was in the Middle East.
Okay.
Bam.
There you go. All right. Well, I want to thank Crystal for taking the time to sit down with me. As you can tell, she's very busy. It took a little persistence to get her here with me today, but she can't knock the hustle, clearly, as she has demonstrated. If you want to learn more about PieCycle, find her on social media, facebook.com/bemorepopsandpies. She's also on Instagram at the PieCycle. It's at the PieCycle.
It's right? Yep, it's at the PieCycle and also at Karma Pop.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, two separate pages for the businesses.
At the PieCycle and at Karma Pop. You can find me on social media, facebook.com/localcolorabp, and on Twitter at localcolor410. I'll make an Instagram eventually.
Get on it, man. My business will not be what it was without it.
Okay. All right. A resounding endorsement. All right. I'm Jason V. This is Local Color. I'll see you guys next time.